Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Standing on My Soapbox, your Monday through Friday rants, raves, and reviews talk radio show with the top stories in news, politics, and pop culture. Join your host, entrepreneur Scott Fullerton, and co-host, actor and writer Craig Hurley, right here at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time live, or subscribe and download on your favorite podcast distributors, including Spotify, Stitcher, and Apple and Google Podcasts. You're also invited to call in and share whatever is on your mind at 347-989-0126 during the live shows. So here we go. Stand up on our soapbox and let's start talking.
Well, happy Halloween, everybody. Welcome to Standing on My Soapbox. It is Thursday, October 31st, 2019. I'm your host, Scott Fullerton. In just a couple of seconds, I'll be joined by my co-host, actor and writer, Mr. Craig Hurley. We hope you'll give us a call, and we may be doing a shortened version today because there's really not much news going on with the holiday. Impeachment's kind of took up a lot of the air out of the room, and there's not much else happening in the news even being reported on. But we'll be here for a while. Give us a call, 347-989-0126. That's 347-989-0126. Let's go ahead and step up on my soapbox and start talking. Craig awesome. Hurley, how the heck are you?
People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down. Yeah, dude. Happy Halloween, everyone.
Happy Halloween to all. I love that song. I was going to put together a special spooky Halloween mix opener, but then I just didn't feel like it. I didn't do it. I downloaded some spooky Halloween music, and then I couldn't get motivated to combine it with everything. How's your day going?
My day's going okay. You guys got a bunch of rain, right? So how many trick-or-treaters are you going to get? Actually.
Lots of rain. Our trick-or-treat is from 5 to 7 tonight, so we're an hour into it,
right.
And we've had 4 people so far. So
right.
Not
Yeah, and Chicago, Chicago's got a bunch of snow, and supposedly there's some parents pulling their kids in sleds, but it's a little tough to trick-or-treat in snow.
Yeah, we may have a little mix tomorrow, a little wintry mix tomorrow, they're calling it.
Yeah,
I will see. I'll take a picture tomorrow if we see any, but we may have a little wintry mix. Yeah, a little chilly.
I told you it was coming your way.
Yeah, it's going to get down to the low 30s tonight, so we may have a little mix. We've had rain all day, off and on, pretty hard. And, of course, all the leaves have officially now fallen from the tree, and so my gutters are full, and I got to go up on the roof tomorrow and clear off these gutters if it's not icy cold on my roof. Because the rain is just falling everywhere out of it since the trees have all the leaves have fallen off the trees. So it's a mess out there with the rain and everything.
Nice.
Stuff
Good
you
time.
Gotta do.
Dealing,
I know.
Dealing with Mother Nature. I'm just feeling very in the Halloween spirit. It's really cold in Vegas right now. It's really freaking cold. Last night it got down to 37 with a wind chill of 28. So it got really cold in Las Vegas and it's currently, I don't know what it is. We're not even close to 60. Maybe we're at 60 right now, but, it's going to drop down again tonight into the 30s. But yeah, all over the country, we're experiencing a little bit of a cold snap and the entire East Coast is getting hit with a bunch of rain. That'll all happen over the next 24 to 48. So,
yeah, we have a low of 33 scheduled for tonight. So we may have a wintry mix
right.
If it keeps up raining. We'll see what happens. Little
cool.
Chilly. This is usually the first sign
never,
of Halloween. This is the first time we ever get any snow.
They never really include wind chill as temperature readings, and they don't do that even with like concrete testing and stuff like that, which I've always thought, you know, you have to apply wind chill no matter what, because the wind makes it colder. So it's just basic logic. And so
they
announced
around
the
here
wind
a lot,
chills
especially
out there,
for
it's
school.
Gonna be cold.
They announce all the wind chill.
It's going to be colder than 33.
It has to do with our school closings and everything back here. So we get wind chill factors pretty regularly out here. But you're right, in a lot of other areas of the country, not so much. But because it kind of dictates how our schools go, our schools can only go at a certain temperature, depending on if the heat's going and things like that. So, because they can't be at the bus stop for so long. A lot of kids take buses here. Because everything's so
spread thinking
apart.
A lot of people are inside right now. Like, they should be sitting next to a fire if they have a fireplace, no matter where you are in this country right now. It seems like there's, you know, inclement weather everywhere. So, you know, stay warm.
I fired up my Keurig for some hot chocolate for the first hour of trick-or-treating. I didn't come down here until like 10 minutes before the show. So the first 50 minutes of trick-or-treating here, I was up there, and like I said, we had four whole people.
Hot chocolate.
I fired up my Keurig with some hot chocolate. I'm going to have another cup when we're off the air here.
Sweet.
I'm ready for it.
Well, I kind of want to tell a ghost story. I don't really want to, I mean, you know, impeachment proceedings, great. That's its own horror of its own kind, so a horror that we're all living.
There's really not much in the news today. I mean, we had the official resolution for the rules of the impeachment today, so that was the big political news. But other than that, there's not really much going on. They're not reporting too much today. Everyone's talking about Halloween and trick-or-treat, and they're just not happening in the news today.
Well, you got a ghost story, dude?
I don't. Do you? I'm not a good ghost storyteller.
Yeah. Oh, no, I've got a bunch of ghost stories, but you don't have a ghost story? You don't have anything that you've experienced in your own life that would make you almost believe that there's a limbo and an afterlife and all of that?
No, I have friends who are actual ghost hunters. I mean, I believe in it. I have friends. We have a group of ghost hunters here. They go to the Shawshank Redemption prison is not too far. It was filmed here in Ohio. So the Shawshank Redemption prison is here in Ohio. So I've had my ghost hunter friends go there, and I've been invited to go there, and I haven't worked on my schedule yet. But I believe in ghosts and things like that. And they've gone there
prison?
A couple times. It's haunted, and they have quite a few haunted places around Ohio that my friend goes to. And I've been invited on many things and just haven't made it out to any of them yet. They haven't worked on my schedule. I'm going to go out one of these days, do a little ghost hunting.
Nah. You seriously haven't had anything in your life that's freaky, right?
Not that I remember. I don't remember that stuff long enough. I mean, I'm sure I have. Nothing sticks
really?
Out in my head. Yeah.
I was 4 years old or five, and I used to have an area of my parents' basement that was my playroom, and there was just toys, all these toys everywhere. And there was, in the basement, there was another area that was like a laundry room that was right next to my playroom. And I had to pass the laundry room in order to go into my playroom. And one day, and I don't know what it was, just one day, I walked downstairs and I was going to play in my playroom. And I vividly remember this. I walked through the laundry room, and on the wall was a shadow of a woman carrying a candle. And it wasn't really a shadow. I don't know how to really describe. It was a moving silhouette, and where like details of her were kind of coming in and out, and she was walking across the laundry room and casting a shadow on the wall. And I freaked out. I was like 4 or 5 years old. I freaked out and I ran upstairs and I wouldn't go down into my playroom. and it's my playroom, dude. I mean, that's like, you know, I mean, every kid has an area where they go and they are by themselves, and you know, that's where they go and they hang out and they do whatever it is that they're doing when they're playing with their toys. So, you know, it's my playroom, and it's like, I spent so much time in there and I would not go downstairs. I would not go into my playroom, and I just, it was not happening. And 3 days later, and for 3 days, would not go down in my playroom, would not go down in the basement, would not go down in the laundry room. And we spent a lot of time in the basement, too, because that was the family room. There was a family room down there as well. And that's where the TV was. And, you know, I'm like, I didn't go downstairs. I was just too scared. And then 3 days later, my grandmother passed. My grandmother died. And we went to her funeral. And then came back, and I went downstairs, and there was no shadow on the wall. There was no woman in the laundry room, and went immediately to my playroom and started playing. And it was just one of those ghost things, you know, that I experienced when I was a kid, and it seemed to be a premonition of some kind of my grandmother's death. And it was just, and it's something that even to this day, I still vividly remember. And then I remember after her funeral, feeling like it's okay now, the lady's gone. Like I remember feeling like she's not going to be there to terrorize me. And you know, even though she didn't do anything, she just walked by. You know, she's not going to be there to frighten me. And I knew it right after the funeral, and that it was okay for me to go downstairs and play. It was very, you know, that to me is one of those experiences that I've had in my life that makes me kind of feel like there, you know, might be a limbo. There might be a place where some of the souls that have inhabited this planet, you know, are trapped, and they tend to supposedly, you know, go to places that they enjoyed. So they tend to, or places that were really traumatic. So it's, you know, it's one or the other. It's kind of like our memories as well. We tend to, you know, remember really, really cool things and really, really bad things. So, that's one of my ghost stories.
Very wild. I don't remember anything like that. I can't remember anything. I'm sure I've had stuff. I just don't remember that stuff for some reason.
No spooky stuff, cool. Scott, ever happening in your life?
No, I'm sure there was. Like I said, I don't think about it. I don't dwell on it. So I don't remember it half the time. It's part of that whole old thing we've been talking about for a week. I've been old since I was a kid. I don't remember stuff that I don't feel like remembering. So it's like, I don't know. I don't feel much.
A friend of mine.
Lots of stuff.
A friend of mine told me a story. A friend of mine, Cal Evans. He's an actor, and he was on 21 Jump Street with me, and he told me a story of how he was a kid, and he was laying down in his bed and asleep, and he felt somebody sit on his bed, and he literally sat up to see who was sitting on his bed, and there was a figure there that he said kind of looked like Jesus Christ, but very like spooky and eerie, like Jesus. So, you
like
know,
Jesus
more
Christ?
More along the lines of a ghost. And he said it scared the hell out of him, and that he went running out of his room. So, you know, and that there was somebody sitting on the end of his bed. So there's experiences like that I've heard.
I'm starting to remember. I kind of remember when I was a kid. Well, not a kid. I was probably a teenager, maybe early 20s. I used to have a really wild recurring dream that I would go to this haunted house. And, I mean, this was like a regular dream, like 3 to 4 times a week. same thing, exploring the house in different places every time. And at the time, I remember thinking that was a little strange because I knew the place where it was, and it was all this, you go in, there was all these rafters and so many levels to this haunted house, but it's a real place that we've explored before. And
nice.
It was kind of, but I had this recurring dream a lot for like about a month, and I never knew what it meant. But then it just stopped. But I do remember that. That's not the only thing I do remember.
Have
and I've
you
been
ever
to Greystone
seen,
Mansion.
Have you ever seen that place?
Yes, I've seen the place. I've been to the place, and I know the place, and I know different pieces
right.
of it. And I see myself, the dreams were all in different parts of it, places that I haven't seen in it, that I knew existed
right.
in it, that I'd never been in before. So I don't know if I was just
wow.
telling them. It was just very, very, very weird. But it was very, it was really recurring. We're talking 2 to 3 times a week for like a month and a half, and then it just stopped. I don't remember why it stopped.
Wow.
But I remember that being kind of trippy at the time. And that's really it.
No, but have you ever been in the place that you're talking about that's in your dream? Have you ever physically
no,
been
No, I was. I was after the fact. I don't remember being there beforehand, but I've been to the place after the fact.
Right.
Because I remember hearing about it. I've heard
nice.
Of the place before, like years before, and then I dreamed of it, and then I went to it like a couple years later, and I saw a lot of the place
nice.
In my dream, which was what was really weird. Some
yeah.
of the rooms were kind of
and
like
that
what?
That could be like past life stuff, and it could also be like that we've got 14 generations of DNA in our brains. That's what scientists just found in our memory banks. That there's 14 generations of DNA in there. So there's some memories that we haven't lived, you know, me, Craig, I have not lived those memories, and yet they're vivid. Like I've got a farmhouse burning down and I'm witnessing it, and I'm wearing, and I can see myself too. And I'm wearing a, like an old, like almost like American Gothic, like picture type of hat,
mm-hmm.
like a pilgrim hat almost. And I have a person standing next to me who I'm assuming is my wife. And it's really a bizarre memory. I've never been that. I didn't live on a farm.
Right.
I didn't see a farmhouse burn down. And, you know, so stuff like that, things like what, you know, what you just said, that you've had recurring dreams that, you know, it's like, I wasn't there, but now I've been there, you know, and now I know where that place was. I don't know where it comes from. And I haven't seen that in my life. I haven't seen the area that I think is the farmhouse area. Like I haven't traveled through that area
right.
in my travels all across the United States. I haven't found it yet. So I don't know where it is or what it is, but I know it was a place and I know it happened because those are the feelings
that makes
that
sense
are going
to me.
On.
I'm
yeah.
a huge deja vu person. I have deja vu a lot. I mean, I'm
wow.
talking a lot. I always have. And
that's a glitch in the
where
matrix,
I,
my
where
friend.
I dream of and I end up being there eventually. And so I've had deja vu like so many times that I can't even count. So that makes sense. I didn't really think about that before, but you are talking DNA is passed down from one generation
right.
to the other. That kind of makes sense that it could be trapped DNA memories. That's kind of wow. I never heard that before. But that kind of makes
yeah.
a little sense when you think about it logically.
No, I've thought that for a while. It's like there's only like a certain amount of memories. And if you go back 14 generations, you're talking about people that got married when they were 14 and 15 years old, and then they had a kid like immediately afterwards. So if that's the DNA that's being passed down to that kid, so you're only talking about 15 years of life experience per person, unless they had a child when they were older, but 14 generations? No way. You know, I mean, we didn't have the medical capabilities. I mean, we're talking hundreds of years. So, you know, we didn't have the medical capabilities. People did not live that long. So, you know, it's going to be short those memories that are locked in there, but they're going to be vivid because they're either, like I was just, what started me talking about this is, it's either a tragic memory that we hold on to and that we see over and over again, or it's a really happy memory that we see over and over again. We tend to lose all those memories in between. So, right. They tend to fade out. I'm actually kind of blessed with a really good memory about a lot of different events in my life. If we're going back, those memories from our ancestors are going to be very short. It's going to be a very short time period because they all died by the time they were like 30 and 40 years old. I would imagine, they've said that Moses was like 900 and Noah was like 900 and stuff like that. But no, dude, I think if you got to like 60 and it was 2000 years ago or even 500 years ago or even 2 years ago, if you got to 60, you were considered like ancient. Like really old. That dude is 900 years old. So, and because nobody lived that long. Our life span was 30 years, 40 years at the most. So people were dying off real early. And that's why people like Romeo and Juliet, even though they're fictitious, they were 14 and 15 years old and seriously right. in love with each other and wanting to get married and wanting to be together and wanting to start a family. And I mean, even my grandmother, not the one that died with the candle on the wall, but my other grandmother, she had her first kid at 16, I believe. And that's just one generation. That's not a huge gap. So it's just one. So, that was 70, 80 years ago. But
yeah. Like I said, it makes sense to me, and the DNA memory makes sense to you, because like I said, deja vu happens to me all the time, and literally, I have deja vu places here in Ohio, because where my dad used to grow up. My dad used to grow up here.
Right.
So I have deja vu places here, and I've had deja vu places in California.
I've been here before.
When I'm traveling anywhere else, but I've had deja vu in places where
right.
I know all my ancestors have lived and things like that.
Right.
So that's what makes
nice.
That sound really kind of trippy. Because I
this
have
is not
deja
the way
vu
this looked. This has changed.
Right.
Scott's
right.
walking around just tripping on his deja vu.
Once I'm very visual anyway. That's once I've been someplace, I never get lost. I don't have a strong memory for dates and things like that, but I have a huge memory for location.
Nice.
I'm very photographic memory location. So once I've been someplace, I very seldom forget how to get there, even many, many years later. But it's all done on points of interest. Like I can't tell you what street Mary Jane lives on, but I know if I go the third right past the grocery store and turn left at the greenhouse, Mary Jane will live there. I have that kind
wow.
of a memory, that kind of a video,
wow.
a photographic memory in my head. So I've always had
right.
that. And even
right.
when I was a kid, like I would remember as we drove around when I was a kid and I would watch things, they would photographically map in my head. And so when I turned 16 and got my license, I got my car, I was able to drive to the beach an hour and a half away without ever looking at a map or anything. And just, I knew how to get there because I'd been there so many times. I had it mapped in my head. And to this day, I can tell you every off-ramp on the freeway between here and Pittsburgh.
Right.
I can tell you the names of each one in order because I map those things. I usually don't remember names like that, but I can remember it for certain things. But even though I can tell you what's going to come up before that on-ramp, I can tell you what the hillside's going to look like and things like that. I've always had that kind of a memory for
the guy,
some reason.
Scott's the guy that you really don't want to ask for directions because he'll turn to you and be like, yeah, make a left at the Burger King and then make
exactly.
a right at the greenhouse that's about a half a mile down and then make a dude.
No, that's exactly
be a
right.
nightmare.
I can't explain directions to other people because of that, because it's
right.
like, unless you've been there, you don't really know what the heck I'm saying. So
nice.
Very true. Very true.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, we're 25 after. Deciding if we want to go. Are we going to go a full hour today, or do you want to do a shortened show today since there's not much in there? Do a half hour
show? I don't know. We could do whatever you want to do. Did you get any trick-or-treaters in the past hour? I don't mean to laugh.
I'm downstairs. Mom's in charge of trick-or-treaters during the show. I came down to the studio. Mom's doing trick-or-treaters here.
Yeah, no, I'm okay. Anybody got any ghosts? I'm going to tell 347-989-0126. It seems that's our theme, and it's, you know, Halloween, and it's also Day of the Dead.
Susie Q's been
tomorrow.
Listening in. We didn't get to Susie Q yesterday. Let's invite her in for a couple
she's
minutes.
She's probably got, it's not words of wisdom. Susie Q's got a couple of ghost stories for you, I'm sure.
Susie Q, welcome to the show.
Spiritual.
How are you doing today?
Oh, my goodness, honey. I could tell you so many stories.
Okay.
Well, after my mother died.
I'm listening.
Okay, right after my mother died, we went to her apartment, and I was sleeping in her bed, and my husband was in the other bedroom. And when I looked over, she was on the bed beside me, and she was sitting up with her knees bent and her arms around her knees, you know, like a teenager does.
Right.
And I'm looking at her, and she looked just like she did when she was, you know, graduating high school. And I looked at her, and the most incredible light imaginable. There's no way to put human words to the light that was around her and with her. And yet it didn't bother me, the light. You know, it was just, I can't explain it. It was just heavenly. And I said, "You're okay." I said, "You're okay." And she smiled. And I said, "Let me tell everybody you're okay." And I was going to, you know, go get my husband in the other room or call him. And she said, "No, this is for you." And I looked at her and I thought, well, for heaven's sakes, this is for me. And everything was very calm and beautiful. The funeral, nothing. Nothing was negative in any kind of way. Everything was like a positive, positive, beautiful thing with no sorrow.
That's a nice thing.
No sorrow at all. Oh,
very
and a little
cool.
Funny
Thank
story.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, go ahead.
Liz, there's a funny one, too. We were, she told me before, if anything happens to her, put a sign up in the elevators. She was in two high rises that they converted to like senior places, but they were condos that they couldn't sell. So they were really nice. So anyway, and something she would do, she carried a whole lot of rubber bands in her purse, and she'd sit by the elevators and the chair, where the people would come in. And whenever somebody come by her, she'd reach in her purse and get a, you know, handful of rubber bands, and she'd say, "Here." And they'd put their hand out, and she'd give them a bunch of rubber bands, and she said, "Here, you never know when you're going to need a good rubber."
Oh, God.
Nice.
Oh, she was a character. You never know. But anyway, the good story is we were giving her stuff away, you know, and whoever need whatever, and if somebody wanted to donate anything, because we were having a dinner, you know, for everybody in the high rise. And the one lady kept looking at the, the ironing board, and that was the only thing that was left, was an ironing board and a little pig bank that had real beautiful eyes, painted eyes. Anyway, and she kept looking at the ironing board, and I said, "Do you need the ironing board?" And she said, "No." And it's like she couldn't take anything. And my mother had a huge box of diapers. Really, really, it was like, I don't know, 3 feet by something, you know, huge box. Anyway, and this one lady was in a wheelchair, and she kept looking at the diapers. But she wouldn't say anything in front of anybody. And it's like everything she had, I felt where she wanted it to go, and it went there. And anyway, so at the end, my husband put Christmas paper all around the great big diaper box and took it up to the next floor with a bow on it and left it by her door. And inside the great big package, you know, looked like a Christmas present was her diapers. Anyway, but the one lady took the ironing board, and she put it under her arm, and she leaned over and kind of just drug it down the hall. And I thought, yep, well, that's where it was supposed to go. So the last thing that was left was a pig, little pig Bank. And my aunt, her mother's sister, had come with two cars that was coming to take all of her furniture and everything. I mean, insane. A U-Haul and another, you know what I mean? And she comes up, and here Mother had already told me where everything, you know, she wanted it to go, except, you know, like the diapers and those things. So anyway, so here she comes up, and she looks, and there's nothing. And I said, well, for heaven's sakes, you were going to take all the furniture? You know, I didn't get it, you know, but, oh, yeah, she was coming to get it. Anyway, and so she was disappointed and looking around, and there was a set of dishes left, but she had told me those were to go, you know, to this one family. So she looked around and looked around, and she saw the pig. And the pig... She just went over and grabbed the pig and put it to her chest, and here she had pot belly pigs, for real.
Oh, wow.
And she had raised them, and she had a pig thing, you know. And here's this wonderful little, and it's like it meant more to her than anything. And I thought, okay, Mother, that's where that was supposed to go, and it did. Everything
there
went where it was supposed to go.
So your story isn't really scary. It's not scary as far of these are people communicating with you.
Not at all. Not at all. We're in all of these different dimensions always.
Yeah.
And it's spinning. I believe it's spinning between where we are now and
that is about too.
Mhm. I believe that. But
is
everything
being able to
is
communicate
positive.
With those
very,
people.
Very positive.
Yeah.
Okay, love you guys. Oh, wait a minute.
Hey,
I didn't give you my one witness. You ready?
Well, we appreciate it. Go ahead,
here
real quick. Go ahead and give us your
okay.
Question.
Pint your finger and 3-pint back at you. If you point your finger, 3-point back at you. Pint your finger and 3-pint back at you.
There you go. All right. That's a
These
sound
all
like that's
do come out of the
thing.
Appalachian Mountains, don't they?
Yep.
There you go.
It's an Appalachian thing.
All right, Susan Q. Happy Halloween.
Guys.
We'll talk at you later. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, babe.
Thank
bye.
You, Susie. Happy Halloween.
There you go. I like it. I like when she calls in.
I'm thinking that all the cliches are coming out of the Appalachian Mountains. I think that's where they all stem from. Everybody is, you know, the cliches, and especially in the United States, there's cliches all over the place.
Cliche is just a saying that's been said a lot. That's all it is.
It's been said a lot over and over again.
Right.
Most of the time, they don't really make any sense, though, like logical sense. But and metaphors do, but not necessarily cliches. I've got two more stories. One is about Wilder Mansion, and Wilder Mansion used to be it's located in Elmhurst, Illinois, and it used to be a Wilder Mansion used to be owned by the Wilders, obviously, and they really founded Elmhurst, and it was built in the late 1800s, and I was working on it as a concrete tech. And so I get to see areas of Wilder Mansion that nobody else gets to see. And up to the attic, and when they were, because they were rehabbing it to open it up as, because it used to be a library, And all through that time, people were like, this place is super haunted. Like, people have been seen walking down the stairs and they're not there. People have been heard upstairs walking around and he's there. Everybody that knows about Wilder Mansion knows that it's been thought of as haunted for a long time. And so I'm upstairs and in the attic when they're tearing off the walls, and behind the walls were shellacked pictures of old sailboats, I don't know how to describe what they were. They're like these boats from the 1400s and 1500s, which there were pictures that were from magazines from the 1900s, and with all these huge sailboats on them. And then they were shellacked from a kid, obviously in early 1900s, one of the Wilder kids, I guess. And they had shellacked them on the inside of the wall, and they weren't tearing stuff like that out. They were leaving that stuff. And while I was up there, I had a really ice cold feeling that went right through me. It was as if somebody had walked me. And I got so freaked out that I ran down the stairs and I'm like, dude, what is going on? And then all the other, there were other laborers that were right there, and there were a couple of contractors, and they're like, yeah, dude, we've been experiencing stuff the entire time that we've been working on this. And they're all telling their little stories of feeling like people are staring at them, feeling like nobody's there, feeling like people right. are walking by them, all of that. So what I had just experienced, they had experienced as well. And it was just really creepy working on that place.
Did you ever work at the Greystone Mansion in Beverly Hills? You ever do any work there?
No.
I love that place.
I've seen it.
It's gorgeous. It's a state park now. The Greystone Mansion was owned, I think it was an oil magnate or something back in the day. And it's in Beverly Hills, and when he passed away, or the last of his relatives passed away, they donated the mansion back to the city of Beverly Hills. So it's used as a park, and they do a lot of weddings there. There's a lot of filming there. Witches of Eastwick was filmed there.
Nice.
The Dark Shadows was filmed there. Lots of movies were filmed there. So it's this gorgeous, huge mansion. With a outdoor pool and outdoor gardens and a carriage house, and it's a three-story deal and has a dumbwaiter in it, and it's really cool. It's built way back during Prohibition. If you go downstairs, there's a two-lane bowling alley downstairs in this wood-paneled room, and if you knock three times on one of the wood panels, it opens up and you can hit the little switch to make a bar turn around. They hid during Prohibition. There's a bar down in the bowling alley, which is really, really cool. And it's just an awesome place. They do a lot of filming there. I've got to take some tours there because my friends work there. And it's the coolest mansion. I'm sad you haven't worked there yet. A lot of, like I said, it's a film set. Like, it's used probably three times a week for movie sets and things like that. It's used so often in movies. I see so many things that I've seen filmed there, but it's a great place. So if you're ever visiting Beverly Hills, LA, go to the Greystone Mansion, just put it in your GPS. Like I said, it's open to the public and it's a great place to look at. And it's huge. It'll take you hours to walk through the whole place. You can't go inside unless you know somebody.
Since we're talking about Los Angeles, that's all on fire right now. Friends of mine have been posting a lot of pictures of areas around their own houses, and it's pretty nasty. There's a whole bunch of people that I know, and I just want to make sure that I know you can't stay safe, but evacuate if you need to, and you know, make sure to take care of the people around you. So, because those fires can jump quickly.
They've already jumped to San Bernardino now. We have fires in San Bernardino now.
Just
popped up today from all these glowing embers and everything and the hot winds going through. So definitely be safe if you're down in Palm Springs, that's for sure.
Yeah, all over Southern California and Northern California. We still have Sonoma County that is lit up. So, and that area. Back to one more. Well, you're talking about Graceland Mansion, and there's this place in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, that you can actually stay at. It's a hotel, and it's called the Ocean Manor. And when Katie was filming Every Which Way down in Miami, they filmed at the Ocean Manor. And we stayed there for a good week. And while we were there, dude, you just walking in this place is creepy. It's a super Art Deco built in, I don't even know what it was, like 1930s, maybe 1940s, Art Deco condominium complex, because it wasn't hotel. It was condominiums. And like Johnny Carson had the penthouse there, and it was really, in its day, really, really, really nice place, right? And but now it is super freaking haunted, dude. We walked in there, and just entering, I was like, this place, where's Lurch? You know, because, dude, this place is creepy. And, you know, they've updated some things, and so, you know, it's kind of nice inside, and it's painted and all that, but it's mostly the Art Deco feel to it. But you get these little tiny elevators, these little tiny steel elevators with brass doors that are just creepy, so creepy, dude. And it wasn't a guarantee whether or not they would actually work. And getting into the elevators, and every person that was staying there, the entire cast and crew, were all creeped out. And there were certain cast members like Paris Smith that we couldn't like talk about things that were happening in our rooms around her, because she would get really creeped out and not want to stay there and not want to film there. So there were certain people that were down, but the majority of the people were all talking about the different things that were happening, like Kelly Tomeo, Louis Tomeo, another actor on the show. She was in her room, and she was asleep, and then she heard waves from the ocean, because the Ocean Manor is right on the beach, and she heard waves from the ocean, and she's like, how am I hearing waves? And she woke up, and the sliding glass door was open. The sliding glass door to the balcony was open that she had shut earlier because they were going to sleep. So she walked over and thought, you know, maybe her son, maybe Lewis, had opened the door in the middle of the night and just forgot to shut it. So she just shut the door. She goes back and lays down, and her TV turns all by itself and is blaring, is like super loud, whatever channel was on there was just super loud, and controller was over on the other side of the room. She was nowhere near the controller. Her son was asleep still, and nowhere near the so she went over and turned it off, and then goes back and lays down, and her TV turns on again full blast and just blaring again. And so she turned that off. Things like this happened to all of us. All of us. I had in our room, I had an alarm that went off in another room. I had somebody's radio go off in another room, and then it continued to beep, and then it didn't stop, and there was nobody in the room, and then it stopped by itself. And then the TV went on in that room as well, and no one's in that room next door. And I know alarms, you know, go off after a certain point of being, but this was like, it was sporadic. Like, it went on and then it went off, and then it was like somebody pressed snooze, and then it went on again, and then it went off again. So it was very creepy. So stuff like that happened to us at the Ocean Manor. And I walked downstairs and they have this little, like, and it's not really a coffee shop, like different coffees and then snacks. They have things and stuff like that. And there was this little Mexican lady that worked there. And I turned to her and I'm like, what tell me about this hotel? You got to tell me the creepy stuff that goes on. And she looked at me and she started laughing like that. And then wouldn't tell any of the stories. And I'm just like, oh, this place is really, really creepy, dude. Really creepy place. So if you ever want to go and stay at the Ocean Manor, be prepared for, you know, possibly, I mean, the likes of, you know, Ed McMahon and, I mean, all these old-time stars used to party there. So, you know, I'm sure there's a number of different people that Ava Gabor and, I mean, just all these old-time stars used to go there for Johnny Carson because Johnny Carson had his penthouse there. Yeah, just really creepy and cool place. Very, very cool place. I thought it was cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I like it. I told you how I was going to start taping Kelly Clarkson show a while back. I end up still taping
right.
it. I'm liking it, so I haven't turned it off my season pass yet. But it's a lot of fun. She does a great opening number, everything. She lets a fan from the audience pick a song to sing, and she sings a different song every opening that a fan picks, and the fan tells them why it's important to her. So she does original music at the beginning of every show. Not original, but covers of whoever that the fan suggests. Which is really cool, and she's kind of fun with her kids. She's very geeky and homespun, which is cool. It's a lot putting sometimes, but it's still pretty cool. But I guess today she's doing her Halloween episode, and we were talking last week that Disney Plus, the new streaming service, is starting off with an original Hocus Pocus, so she dressed up as Bette Midler's Hocus Pocus character today, so I can't wait to watch that later when we're off the air here. But the Kelly Clarkson show, I'm giving it a thumbs up. I'm liking the show. It is everything that
cool.
I heard about.
I have not watched it yet. I haven't had the pleasure of watching it yet.
She's a little cheesy in some parts. She's a little down home spun, but it's cool. I like it. All right. Well, let's start
I miss doing stuff. Well, I was going to talk about, I used to have haunted houses when I was a kid. And some of the neighborhood kids would dress up as different characters and play those characters. And I had a haunted house in my basement when I was in seventh and eighth grade and for Halloween night. And we actually had, we should have charged. I mean, there was a point where we had a line that was out the door that went like four or five houses down one way and four or five houses down the other way. So we actually had a lot of fun doing that. And just a lot of, like, you know, I had neighborhood kids. And I could mention their names, but just to, you know, because they actually did a really good job. You know, there's one kid, Sonny Vortans, played Dracula, and then this other kid, Jennifer McQueen, was playing Frankenstein's wife, I think, Bride of Frankenstein. And dude, they just did a really good job, and we scared the hell out of a lot of people. And we were, you know, just seventh and eighth grade. I mean, we were just, you know, like, what, 12 years old. So, you know, it was a lot of fun. And I miss doing that. I would actually love to do what Alice Cooper does. And Alice Cooper owns a haunted house that's a year-round haunted house. And I think that would be just so much fun. That do a seasonal haunted house. And, you know, where, you know, for Christmas, you've just got some really horrific images. And, you know, I mean, talking about Bad Santa, which you need to see. I mean, just, you know, have, you know, a Santa that's going around chopping people up, that type of stuff. And I just think it would be a lot of fun to have a year-round haunted house. And that's something that at least Alice Cooper, if he still does, I know he did. I'm pretty sure it's still there. It's still open.
That would be very cool. I'm not a big haunted house fan, but it'd be kind of fun, an all year round one.
Yeah.
I'm not big with haunted houses. I do love Ellen DeGeneres always sends her producer, Andy, who gets scared really easy, to a haunted house every year. Some of the funnest videos I've ever seen. If you ever want to have a fun afternoon, just do Ellen DeGeneres and Andy go to haunted house. And she makes them go to all these haunted houses and just scares the heck out of them every year. It is so much fun. I love
watching. He always ends up on the floor. He always ends up on the floor crawling. I've seen.
Well, she doesn't. She doesn't get scared that easy, but he gets scared.
No, she actually loves scaring people. I feel the same way, dude. If I had a talk show like hers, scaring people left and right, I would do it every show. I would just keep scaring every single guest that I have. So I think it would be a lot of fun to do that. That's why I'd love to own a year-round haunted house. I've looked into it every year. I'm kind of like, because it takes a year to really build something like that up and finding a space and getting it going. And really, I don't want any volunteers because, you know, to be the characters. Because, dude, what is it? What kind of – dude, what? That's some scary stuff. What psychologically, what kind of person do you got to be to volunteer at a haunted house? I need to pay the actors.
Right.
So that I know that they're legit. You know, it's like,
exactly.
Okay, they've got an actual job to do, so, and they're paid to do it. But, you know, other than that, I think it would be such a blast, dude. I've always wanted to run a professional haunted house. I could so scare the hell out of people. It'd be so much
That'd
fun.
Be an interesting
I would
business
do stuff.
Plan to do a year-round haunted house. That like you said, all the different holidays have funky, scary things. The haunted Easter bunny and Santa Claus.
Oh, no, for Easter, dude, no, you got to have a crucifixion.
That would be fun.
I know it's sacrilegious, but you got to have crucifixion. You know, you got to have all. I mean, it's horrific.
No,
so
I would have an insane rabbit. I wouldn't do it. I would keep religion down. I would do it.
No, there's
going to
be an insane rabbit as well. There's absolutely.
But,
you can't keep religion out of this, dude. This is Samhain. This day is all about religion, so, and pagan religion and Wiccan religion. So you can't leave it out. And Passover, you know, if you're having a haunted house, and Passover and Easter, you gotta do it, dude. Yeah.
Would not be my choice.
I have to.
We would run it a little differently.
I have to go there.
I would not do that. But yeah, I hear you. I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
All right, well, we are going to wrap it up. Believe it or not, we kind of vamped for 53 minutes. I'm very excited we were able to last that long. So we want to make an announcement. Tomorrow we are very happy to have a special guest on the show again. We were so lucky to have Scotty Schwartz on a couple weeks ago. And tomorrow we have actor and artist Pablo Azar coming on the show. He is an actor and an artist. Yeah, Pablo will be on tomorrow.
Cool.
Calling in.
Yeah, Pablo worked with Katie on a number of different novellas. Pablo's known Katie. I mean, Katie and Pablo have known each other forever, for a long time. So cool.
It's going to be a good show tomorrow, so be sure to tune in tomorrow for that. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll find out how sick we are from eating Halloween candy. Don't eat too much Halloween candy tonight, boys and girls. I'm going to keep mine, that's for sure.
And
but thanks for
warm.
Tuning in, guys. We will be back tomorrow with our special guest, 3 o'clock Pacific, 6 o'clock Eastern. We will wrap up the week. You'll be more than welcome to call in, 347-989-0126. If you have any questions for us or Pablo or want to talk about the week's happenings of the world, we'll play out with
he's going to talk about – he'll talk
game.
About Day of the
with
Dead
the
tomorrow. Pablo will be
he'll
talk
about
talk
that.
About
he's
Day
got
an
art exhibit going on right now. He has a short film he created coming out
artist,
soon. So lots of stuff to talk about. It'll be a fun show had by all tomorrow for sure.
Yeah, look his stuff up on Instagram and on Facebook. I don't know if he's on Twitter. I know he's on Instagram though, too, posting stuff, posting his artwork. He's very, very I don't know what the word is I'm looking for on his art. There's a lot of pop culture in his art. And it's very, it is very Lichtenstein-esque, where it's, where, you know, the, it's very poppy for what art is. And, okay. And it's really cool stuff that he throws together and the creations that he makes. So check stuff out on Instagram.
Very good. Well, we'll play out then with a little bit of a combined Spanish-English Wicked Game, one of my favorite songs from Brandon
nice.
James. Be back tomorrow, 3 o'clock Pacific, 6 o'clock Eastern. Hope to see you then. Bye-bye.
Peace.
Siente así, llévale.